Section 4. Planning for the Public Campaign.
Patterning after the Master Evangelist. Subheading, Study Christ's Methods. If ever it has been essential that we understand and follow right methods of teaching and follow the example of Christ, it is now. Letter 322, 1908. Subheading, How We Met the People. If you would approach the people acceptably, humble your hearts before God and learn His ways. We shall gain much instruction for our work from a study of Christ's methods of labor and His manner of meeting the people. In the gospel story, we have the record of how He worked for all classes and of how, as He labored in cities and towns, thousands were drawn to His side to hear His teaching. The words of the Master were clear and distinct and were spoken in sympathy and tenderness. They carried with them the assurance that here was truth. It was the simplicity and earnestness with which Christ labored and spoke that drew so many to Him. The great teacher laid plans for His work. Study these plans. We find Him traveling from place to place, followed by crowds of eager listeners. When He could, He would lead them away from the crowded cities to the quiet of the country. Here He would pray with them and talk to them of eternal truths. Review and Herald, January 18, 1912. Subheading, In the Synagogues, by the Seaside. Christ went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness. He preached in the synagogues because thus He could reach the many who gathered there. Then He went out and taught by the seaside and the great thoroughfares of travel. The precious truths that He had to proclaim were not to be confined to synagogues. Christ might have occupied the highest place among the highest teachers of the Jewish nation, but He chose rather to take the gospel to the poor. He went from place to place that those in the highways and byways may catch the words of the gospel of truth. He labored in the way in which He desires His workers to labor today. By the sea, on the mountainside, in the streets of the city, His voice was heard explaining the Old Testament scriptures. So unlike the explanations of the scribes and Pharisees was His explanation that the attention of the people was arrested. He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. With clearness and power, He proclaimed the gospel message. Letter 129, 1903. Subheading, Methods Peculiarly His Own. He attended the great yearly festivals of the nation, and to the multitude absorbed in outward ceremony, He spoke of heavenly things, bringing eternity within their view. To all, He brought treasures from the storehouse of wisdom. He spoke to them in language so simple they could not fail of understanding. By methods peculiarly His own, He helped all who were in sorrow and affliction. With tender, courteous grace, He ministered to the sin-sick soul, bringing healing and strength. The Prince of Teachers, He sought access to the people by the pathways of their most familiar associations. He presented the truth in such a way that ever after was to His hearers intertwined with their most hallowed recollections and sympathies. He taught in the way that made them feel the completeness of His identification with their interests and happiness. His instruction was so direct, His illustrations were so appropriate, His words so sympathetic and cheerful, that His hearers were charmed. The simplicity and earnestness with which He addressed the needy hallowed every word. Ministry of Healing, pages 22 to 24, 1905. Subheading, Jesus Studied Faces. Even the crowd that so often thronged His steps was not to Christ an indiscriminate mass of human beings. He spoke directly to every mind and appealed to every heart. He watched the faces of His hearers, marked the lightening up of the countenance, the quick, responsive glance which told that truth had reached the soul. And there vibrated in His heart the answered chord of sympathetic joy. Education, page 231, 1903. Subheading, Appeal of Fallen Humanity. In every human being, however fallen, he beheld a Son of God, one who might be restored to the privilege of his divine relationship. Education, page 79, 1903. Subheading, Simplicity, Directness, Repetition. Christ's teaching was simplicity itself. He taught as one having authority. The Jews looked for and claimed that the first advent of Christ should be with all the representations of glory which should attend a second advent. The great teacher proclaimed the truth to humanity, many of whom could not be educated in the schools of the rabbis, neither in Greek philosophy. Jesus uttered truth in a plain, direct manner, giving vital force and impressiveness to all his utterances. Had he raised his voice to an unnatural key, as is customary with many preachers in this day, the pathos and melody of the human voice would have been lost, and much of the force of the truth destroyed. In his discourses, Christ did not bring many things before them at once, lest he might confuse their minds. He made every point clear and distinct. He did not disdain the repetition of old and familiar truths and prophecies if they would serve his purpose to inculcate ideas. Manuscript 25, 1890. Although the great truths uttered by our Lord were given in simple language, they were clothed with such beauty that they interested and charmed the greatest intellects. To give a true representation of the tender, loving, pitying care exercised by his Father, Jesus gave the parable of the prodigal son. Though his children err and stray from him, if they repent and return, he will receive them with the joy manifested by an earthly father in receiving a long-lost son who in penitence returns. Manuscript 132, 1902. Subheading, The Children Understood. Christ's way of presenting truth cannot be improved upon. The words of life were presented in such simplicity that a child could understand them. Men, women, and children were so impressed with his manner of explaining the scriptures that they would catch the very intonation of his voice, place the same emphasis on their words, and imitate his gestures. Youth caught his spirit of ministry and sought to pattern after his gracious ways by seeking to assist those whom they saw needing help. Counsels on Health, pages 498, 499, 1914. Subheading, He Reset Gems in the Framework of Truth. In his teachings, Christ did not sermonize as ministers do today. His work was to build upon the framework of truth. He gathered up the precious gems of truth which had been appropriated by the enemy and placed in the framework of error and reset them in the framework of truth, that all who received the word might be enriched thereby. Manuscript 104, 1898. Subheading, He Reinforced the Message. Christ was always ready to answer the sincere inquirer after truth. When his disciples came to him for an explanation of some word he has spoken to the multitude, he gladly repeated his lesson. Letter 164, 1902. Subheading, He Drew by Love. Christ drew the hearts of his hearers to him by the manifestation of his love. And then, little by little, as they were able to hear it, he unfolded to them the great truths of the kingdom. We must also learn to adapt our labors to the condition of the people, to meet men where they are. While the claims of the law of God are to be presented to the world, we should never forget that love, the love of Christ, is the only power that can soften the heart and lead to obedience. Review and Herald, November 25, 1890. Subheading, He Restrained Truth. The great teacher held in his hand the entire map of truth, but he did not disclose it to all his disciples. He opened to them those subjects only which were essential to their advancement in the path of heaven. There were many things in regard to which his wisdom kept them silent. As Christ withheld many things from his disciples, knowing that then it would be impossible for them to comprehend, so today he withholds many things from us, knowing the limited capacity of our understanding. Manuscript 118, 1902. Subheading, Impersonal Interviews. The work of Christ was largely composed of personal interviews. He had a faithful regard for the one soul audience, and that one soul has carried to thousands the intelligence received. Review and Herald, May 9, 1899. Subheading, At the Feast. When invited to a feast, Christ accepted the invitation that he might, while sitting at the table, sow the seeds of truth in the hearts of those present. He knew that the seed thus sown would spring up and bring forth fruit. He knew that some of those sitting at meat with him would afterward respond to his call, Follow me. Ours is the privilege of studying Christ's manner of teaching as he went from place to place, everywhere sowing the seeds of truth. Manuscript 113, 1902. Subheading, Christ's Follow-Up Plan. Christ sent out his disciples two and two to go to places to which he would afterward follow. Manuscript 19, 1910. Subheading, Was Christ's Way Right? The Majesty of Heaven journeyed from place to place on foot, teaching out of doors by the seaside and in the mountain. Thus he drew the people to him. Are we greater than our Lord? Was his way the right way? Have we been working unwisely in maintaining simplicity and godliness? We have not learned our lesson yet as we should. Christ declares, Take my yoke of restraint and obedience upon you, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Letter 140, 1898. Subheading, Molding and Correcting in Christ's Service. The work of the disciples needed molding and correcting by tenderest discipline and by opening to others a knowledge of the word they themselves had received. And Christ gave them special instruction in regard to their course of action and their work. In his own life, he had given them an example of strict conformity to the rules which he now laid down for them. They were not to enter into controversies. This was not their work. They were to reveal and advocate the truth in their own characters, through earnest prayer and meditation, revealing personal experience in genuine Christianity. This would be in decided contrast to the religion of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They were to call the attention of their hearers to greater truths yet to be revealed. They were to cast the arrow, and the Spirit of God was to guide the shaft into the heart. Review and Herald, February 1, 1898. Heading, Planning an Expanded Evangelism, subheading, The Time for an Aggressive Work. To all people and nations and kindred and tongues, the truth is to be proclaimed. The time has come for much aggressive work to be done in the cities and in all neglected, unworked fields. Review and Herald, June 23, 1904. Subheading, Wise Plans. Diligent work is now called for. In this crisis, no half-hearted efforts will prove successful. In all our city work, we are to hunt for souls. Wise plans are to be laid in order that such work may be done to their best possible advantage. Review and Herald, September 27, 1906. Subheading, Launching Out into the Deep. There are those who think it is their duty to preach the truth, but they dare not venture from the shore, and they catch no fish. They will choose to go among the churches over and over the same ground. They report a good time, a pleasant visit, but we look in vain for souls that are converted to the truth through the instrumentality. These ministers hug the shores too closely. Let them launch out into the deep and cast their net where the fish are. There's no lack of work to be done. There could be hundreds employed in the vineyard of the Lord where there's now one. The True Missionary, February 1874. Subheading, A Challenge to the Leaders. I ask those who have charge of our work, why are so many places passed by? Look upon the towns and cities yet unworked. There are many large cities in America, not only in the South, but in the North, yet to be worked. In every city in America, there should be some memorial for God. But I could mention many places where the light of truth has not yet shone. The angels of heaven are waiting for human instrumentalities to enter their places where witness has not yet been born to present truth. Review and Herald, December 30, 1902. Subheading, Clear New Ground, Establish New Centers. Prepare workers to go out in the highways and hedges. We need wise nurserymen who will transplant trees to different localities and give them advantages that they may grow. It is the positive duty of God's people to go into the regions beyond. Let forces be set at work to clear new ground, to establish new centers of influence wherever an opening can be found. Manuscript 11-1908. Subheading, Reach Beyond the Gospel-Hardened Centers. Let us remember that as a people entrusted with sacred truth, we have been neglectful and positively unfaithful. The work has been confined to a few centers until the people in them have become gospel-hardened. It is difficult to make an impression on those who have heard so much truth and yet have rejected it. In a few places, too much has been expended, while many, many cities have been left unwarned and unworked. All this is against us now. Had we put forth earnest efforts to reach those who, if converted, would give a true representation of what present truth would do for human beings, how much farther advanced our work would be now? It is not right that a few places should have all the advantages while other places are neglected. Letter 132, 1902. Subheading, Planning Ahead for New Openings. Oh, how I might seem to hear the voice day and night, go forward, add new territory, enter new territory with the tent, and give the last message of warning to the world. There is no time to be lost. Leave my memorial in every place where ye shall go. My spirit will go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your reward. There are other towns not a long distance from here, which must have a camp meeting next year. This is the very plan of God, how the work should be carried. Those who have had the light for years to enter new fields with a tent and have held the camp meetings in the same ground for years need to be converted themselves because they do not heed the word of the Lord. Letter 174, 1900. Heading, Moving Forward by Faith, subheading, Advance in Faith, Means Will Come. Can we expect the inhabitants of these cities to come to us and say, If you'll come to us and preach, we will help you do thus and so? They know nothing of our message. The Lord desires us to let our light so shine before men that His Holy Spirit may communicate the truth to the honest in heart who are seeking after truth. As we do this work, we shall find that means will flow into our treasuries, and we shall have means with which to carry on a still broader and far more reaching work. Shall we not advance in faith just as if we had thousands of dollars? We do not have half faith enough. Let us act our part in warning the cities. The warning message must come to the people who are ready to perish, unwarned, unsaved. How can we delay? As we advance, the means will come. But we must advance by faith, trusting in the Lord God of Israel. Night after night I am unable to sleep because of this burden resting upon me in behalf of the unwarned cities. Night after night I am praying and trying to devise methods by which we can enter these cities and give the warning message. Why, there is a world to be warned and saved, and we are to go east and west and north and south and work diligently for the people all about us. As we undertake this work, we shall see the salvation of God. Encouragement will come. Manuscript 53, 1909. Subheading, Follow God's Opening Providence. If we would follow the opening providence of God, we should be quick to discern every opening and make the most of every advantage within our reach. There's a fearfulness to venture out and run risks in this great work, fearing that the expenditure of means would not bring returns. What if means are used and yet we cannot see that souls have been saved by it? What if there's a dead loss of a portion of our means? Better work and keep at work than do nothing. You know not which shall prosper, this or that. Men will invest in patent rights and meet with heavy losses, and it is taken as a matter of course. But in the work and cause of God, men are afraid to venture. Money seems to them to be a dead loss that does not bring immediate returns when invested in the work of saving souls. The very means that is now so sparingly invested in the cause of God, and that is selfishly retained, will in a little while be cast with all idols to the moles and to the bats. Money will soon depreciate in value very suddenly when the reality of eternal scenes opens to the senses of man. God will have men who will venture anything and everything to save souls, those who will not move until they can see every step of the way clearly before them will not be of advantage at this time to forward the truth of God. There must be workers now who will push ahead in the dark as well as in the light, and who will hold up bravely under discouragements and disappointed hopes, and yet work on with faith, with tears and patient hope, sowing beside all waters, trusting the Lord to bring the increase. God calls for men of nerve, of hope, faith, and endurance to work to the point. The True Missionary, January 1874. Subheading, Be Resourceful. In these perilous times, we should leave untried no means of warning the people. We should be deeply interested in everything that will stay the tide of iniquity. Work on. Have faith in God. Letter 49, 1902. Subheading, Not in Our Own Strength. I appeal to you, my brethren in the ministry, connect yourselves more closely with the work of God. Many souls that might be saved will be lost unless you strive more earnestly to make your work as perfect as possible. There's a great work to be done in blank. It may seem to move slowly and hard at first, but God will work mightily through you if you will only make an entire surrender to Him. Much of the time you will have to walk by faith, not by feeling. Wherever you are, however trying your circumstances, do not talk discouragement. The Bible is full of rich promises. Can you not believe them? When we go out to labor for souls, God does not want us to go a warfare at our own charge. What does this mean? It means that we need not go in our own strength, for God has pledged His word that He will go with us. Historical Sketches, pages 128-129, 1886. Subheading, In the Early Days. At God's command, go forward, we advance when the difficulties to be surmounted made the advance seem impossible. We know how much it has cost to work out God's plans in the past, which have made us, as a people, what we are. Then let everyone be exceedingly careful not to unsettle minds in regard to those things that God has ordained for our prosperity and success in advancing His cause. Letter 32, 1892. Subheading, Leave Results with God. The good seed sown may lie some time in cold, worldly, selfish heart without evidencing that it has taken root. But frequently the Spirit of God operates upon that heart and waters it with the dew of heaven, and the long hidden seed springs up and finally bears fruit to the glory of God. We know not in our life work we shall prosper, this or that. These are not questions for us poor mortals to settle. We are to do our work, leaving the result with God. Testimonies, Volume 3, page 248, 1872. Subheading, Help Working Churches. Every conference, whether large or small, is responsible for earnest, solemn work in preparing a people for the coming of Christ. Those churches in the conference that are willing to work and are in need of help in order to know how to do effective work should have the needed assistance. Let every conference worker become wide awake to make his conference an intensely active agency for the upbuilding of the work of God. Let every church member become a working member to build up spiritual interest. In holy love, by humble prayer and earnest work, let the ministers act their part. Manuscript 7, 1908. Subheading, God's Hand on Wheel. Fearful perils are before those who bear responsibilities in the cause of God. Perils the thought of which make me tremble. But the word comes, My hand is upon the wheel, and I will not allow men to control my work for these last days. My hand is turning the wheel, and my providence will continue to work out the divine plans, irrespective of human inventions. In the great closing work, we shall meet with perplexities that we know not how to deal with, but let us not forget that the three great powers of heaven are working, that a divine hand is on the wheel, and that God will bring his purposes to pass. Manuscript 118, 1902. Subheading, Favor Until the Work is Done. A world is to be warned. Watch, wait, pray, work, and let nothing be done through strife and vainglory. Let nothing be done to increase prejudice, but everything possible to make prejudice less, by letting in light the bright rays of the sun of righteousness amid the moral darkness. There is a great work to be done yet, and every effort possible must be made to reveal Christ as the sin-pardoning Savior, Christ as the sin-bearer, Christ as the bright and morning star, and the Lord will give us favor before the world until our work is done. Letter 35, 1895. Heading, Evangelism of the Highest Type. Subheading, With Graceful Dignity and Simplicity. Those who do the work of the Lord in the cities must put forth calm, steady, devoted effort for the education of the people. While they are to labor earnestly to interest the hearers and to hold this interest, yet at the same time they must carefully guard against anything that borders on sensationalism. In this age of extravagance and outward show, where men think it necessary to make a display in order to gain success, God's chosen messages are to show the fallacy of spending means needlessly for effect. As they labor with simplicity, humility, and graceful dignity, avoiding everything of a theatrical nature, their work will make a lasting impression for good. There is a necessity, it is true, for expending money judiciously in advertising the meetings and carrying forward the work solidly. Yet the strength of every worker will be found to lie not in these outward agencies, but in trustful dependence upon God, in earnest prayer to him for help, in obedience to his word. Much more prayer, much more Christ-likeness, much more conformity to God's will is to be brought into the Lord's work. Outward show and extravagant outlay of means will not accomplish the work to be done. God's work is to be carried forward with power. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that God will add to the ranks of his people men of ability and influence who are to act their part in warning the world. Not all in the world are lawless and sinful. God has many thousands who have not bowed the knee to Baal. There are God-fearing men and women in the fallen churches. If this were not so, we would not be given a message to bear. Babylon, the great, is fallen. Come out of her, my people. Many of the honest in heart are gasping for breath of life from heaven. They will recognize the gospel when it is brought to them in the beauty and simplicity with which it is presented in God's word. Testimonies, Volume 9, pages 109 to 111, 1909. Subheading, Gifted, Experienced Laborers for the New City Fields. Experienced laborers should be given the work of entering new places. A course is to be pursued that will maintain the sacred dignity of the work. We're ever to remember that evil angels are watching for opportunities to defeat our efforts. The cities are to be worked. A season of great trial is before us. Then let none lift up the soul into vanity. It becomes those who are striving for the crown of life to live lawfully. All our capabilities and gifts are to be used in the work of saving perishing souls, thus winning others to become co-laborers with Christ. The knowledge and powers that the Lord has given men and women will be largely increased as they work to build up his kingdom. Manuscript 19, 1910. Subheading, Elevated, Refined, Conscientious Manner. Throughout the ages, God has been particular as to the design and the accomplishment of his work. In this age, He has given his people much light and instruction in regard to how his work is to be carried forward in an elevated, refined, conscientious manner, and he is pleased with those who, in their service, carry out his design. Review and Herald, September 14, 1905. Subheading, On a High Plane. During the years of Christ's ministry on earth, godly women assisted in the work that the Savior and his disciples were carrying forward. If those who were opposing this work could have found anything out of the regular order in the conduct of these women, they would have closed the work at once. But while women were laboring with Christ and the apostles, the entire work was conducted on so high a plane as to be above the shadow of a suspicion. No occasion for any accusation could be found. The minds of all were directed to the Scriptures rather than to individuals. The truth was proclaimed intelligently and so plainly that all could understand. In this message, there is a beautiful consistency that appeals to the judgment. We cannot allow excitable elements among us to display themselves in a way that would destroy our influence with those whom we wish to reach with the truth. Manuscript 115, 1908. Subheading, Avoid Undignified Methods. While it is well to exercise economy, let the work of God ever stand in its elevated, noble dignity. Do not cheapen the work of God. Let it stand forth as from God. Let it bear no human impress, but the impress of the divine. Self is to be lost sight of in Jesus. There has been much loss through following the mistaken ideas of our good brethren, whose plans were narrow, and they lowered the work to their peculiar ways and ideas, so that the higher classes were not reached. The appearance of the work impressed the minds of unbelievers as being of very little worth, some stray offshoot of religious theory that was beneath their attention. Much has been lost for want of wise methods of labor. Every effort should be made to give dignity and character to the work. Special efforts should be made to secure the goodwill of men in responsible positions without sacrificing one principle of truth or righteousness, but by sacrificing our own ways and manner of approaching the people. Much more would be effected by using more tact and discretion in the presentation of the truth. Letter 12, 1887. Subheading, Doctrine Must Bear Scrutiny of Great Men. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Every position of truth taken by a people will bear the criticism of the greatest minds. The highest of the world's great men will be brought in contact with truth, and therefore every position we take should be critically examined and tested by the Scriptures. Now we seem to be unnoticed, but this will not always be. Movements are at work to bring us to the front. And if our theories of truth can be picked to pieces by historians of the world's greatest men, it will be done. We must individually know for ourselves what is truth, and be prepared to give a reason of the hope that we have with meekness and fear, and not any proud, boasting self-sufficiency, but with the Spirit of Christ. We're nearing the time when we shall stand individually alone to answer for our belief. Religious errors are multiplying and entwining themselves with satanic power about the people. There is scarcely a doctrine of the Bible that has not been denied. Letter 6, 1886. Heading, The Evangelist and His Team. Subheading, Evangelism and Evangelists. When I think of the cities in which so little work has been done, in which there are so many thousands to be warned of the soon coming of the Savior, I feel an intensity of desire to see men and women going forth to the work in the power of the Spirit filled with Christ's love for perishing souls. My mind is deeply stirred. In every city there is work to be done. Laborers are to go into our large cities and hold camp meetings. In these meetings the very best talent is to be employed that the truth may be proclaimed with power. Men of varied gifts are to be brought in. New methods must be introduced. God's people must awake to the necessities of the time in which they are living. God has men whom he will call into his service, men who will not carry forward the
work in the lifeless way in which it has been carried forward in the past. In our large cities, the message is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. God will raise up laborers for this work, and his angels will go before them. Let no one hinder these men of God's appointment. Forbid them not. God has given them their work. Let the message be given with so much power that the hearer shall be convinced. Review and Herald, September 30, 1902. Subheading, Strong Men Needed. I call upon our ministering brethren to consider this matter. Let strong men be appointed to work in the great centers. Manuscript 25, 1908. Subheading, A Variety of Talent. In our tent meetings, we must have speakers who can make a good impression on the people. The ability of one man, however intelligent this man may be, is insufficient to meet the need. A variety of talents should be brought into these meetings. Manuscript 104, 1902. Subheading, Second Man, a Good Investment. The Lord designs that his work shall be carried solidly. To enter a new field involves large expense. But the extra expense of a second man to help Brother Blank will be an investment that will bring returns. I feel to urge this matter because so much is at stake. I pray the Lord to impress your minds to carry out his will. Letter 261, 1905. Subheading, Holding Large Audiences. The Lord has given to some ministers the ability to gather and to hold large congregations. As they labor in the fear of God, their efforts will be attended by the deep movings of the Holy Spirit upon human hearts. I am charged to wake up the watchmen. The end of all things is at hand. Now is the accepted time. Let our ministers and presidents of conferences exercise their tact and skill in presenting the truth before large numbers of people in our cities. As you labor in simplicity, hearts will be melted. Bear in mind that as you deliver the testing message for this time, your own heart will be softened and quickened by the subduing influence of the Holy Spirit, and you will have souls for your hire. As you stand before multitudes in the cities, remember that God is your helper, and that by his blessing, you may bear a message of a character to reach the hearts of the hearers. Manuscript 53, 1910. Subheading, Men and Women to Teach Truth. Wise teachers, men and women who are apt in teaching the truths of the word, are needed in our cities. Let these present the truth in all its sacred dignity and with sanctified simplicity. Review and Herald, January 25, 1912. Subheading, Paul, a Traveling Evangelist. Paul's was a life of intense and varied activities. From city to city, from country to country, he journeyed, telling the story of the cross, winning converts to the gospel, and establishing churches. Gospel Workers, pages 58, 59, 1915. Subheading, Strong, Courageous Workers. Feeble or aged men and women should not be sent to labor in unhealthful, crowded cities. Let them labor where their lives will not be needlessly sacrificed. Our brethren who bring the truth to the cities must not be obliged to imperil their health in the noise and bustle and confusion if retired places can be secured. Those who are engaged in the difficult and trying work in the cities should receive every encouragement possible. Let them not be subjected to unkind criticism from their brethren. We must have a care for the Lord's workers who are opening the light of truth to those who are in the darkness of error. Letter 168, 1909. Heading, Advantages of Two and Two. Subheading, Jesus Sent Our Brother with Brother. Calling the 12 about him, Jesus bade them go out two and two through the towns and villages. None was sent forth alone, but brother was associated with brother, friend with friend. Thus they could help and encourage each other, counseling and praying together, each one's strength supplementing the other's weakness. In the same manner, he afterwards sent forth the 70. It was the Savior's purpose that the messengers of the gospel should be associated in this way. In our own time, evangelistic work would be far more successful if this example were more closely followed. The Desire of Ages, page 350, 1898. Subheading, God's Plan for the Work Today. When Jesus sent his disciples forth to labor, they did not feel, as some do now, that they would rather work alone than have anyone with them who did not labor just as they labored. Our Savior understood what ones to associate together. He did not connect with the mild, beloved John, one of the same temperament, but he connected with him the ardent, impulsive Peter. These two men were not alike in their disposition or in their manner of labor. Peter was prompt and zealous in action, bold and uncompromising, and would often wound. John was ever calm and considerate of others' feelings, and would come after to bind up and encourage. Thus the defects in one were partially covered by the virtues in the other. God never designed that, as a rule, his servant should go out singly to labor. To illustrate, here are two brothers. They're not of the same temperament. Their minds do not run in the same channel. One is in danger of doing too much. The other fails to carry the burdens that he should. If associated together, these might have a molding influence upon each other, so that the extremes in their characters would not stand out so prominently in their labors. It might not be necessary for them to be together in every meeting, but they could labor in places 10, 15, or even 30 miles apart, near enough together, however, so that if one came to a crisis in his labors, he could call on the other for assistance. They should also come together as often as possible for prayer and consultation. When one labors alone continually, he is apt to think that his way is above criticism, and he feels no particular desire to have anyone labor with him. But it is Christ's plan that someone should stand right by his side, so that the work shall not be molded entirely by one man's mind, and so that his defects of character shall not be regarded as virtue by himself or by those who hear him. Unless a speaker has one by his side with whom he can share the labor, he will many times be placed in circumstances where he will be obliged to do violence to the laws of life and health. Then again, important things sometimes transpire to call him right away in the crisis of an interest. If two are connected in labor, the work of such times need not be left alone. Historical Sketches, pages 126, 127, 1886. Subheading, Advantages of United Labor. There is no need of two working together, for one can encourage the other, and they can counsel, pray, and search the Bible together. In this they may get a broader light upon the truth, for one will see one phase and the other another phase of the truth. If they are erring, they can correct one another in speech and attitude, so that the truth may not be lightly esteemed because of the defects of its advocates. If the workers are sent out alone, there is no one to see or correct their errors. But when two go together, an educating work may be carried on, and each worker become what he should be, a successful soul winner. Review and Herald, July 4, 1893. Subheading, Why Not Today? Why is it that we have departed from the method of labor which was instituted by the great teacher? Why is it that the laborers in his cause today are not sent forth two and two? Oh, you say, we have not laborers enough to occupy the field. Then occupy less territory. Send forth the laborers into places where the way seems to be opened, and teach the precious truth for this time. Can we not see the wisdom of having two go together to preach the gospel? Review and Herald, April 19, 1892. Heading, The Evangelistic Site. Subheading, Study Your Location. Enter the large cities and create an interest among the high and the low. Make it your work to preach the gospel to the poor, but do not stop there. Seek to reach the higher classes also. Study your location with a view to letting your light shine forth to others. This work should have been done long since. Testimonies to Meetings, page 400, 1896. Subheading, Work in Halls. Let halls be hired, and let the message be given with such power that the hearers will be convinced. God will raise up workers who will occupy peculiar spheres of influence, workers who will carry the truth to the most unpromising places. Manuscript 127, 1901. Subheading, Lodge Halls in Our Cities. The lodge halls in our cities should be secured that the third angel's message may be proclaimed by human lips. Thousands will appreciate the message. Letter 35, 1895. Subheading, The Most Popular Halls. It requires money to carry the message of warning to the cities. It is sometimes necessary to hire at large expense the most popular halls in order that we may call the people out. Then we can give them Bible evidence of the truth. Manuscript 114, 1905. Subheading, Begin Cautiously. I have been and still am instructed regarding the necessities required for the work in the cities. We must quietly secure buildings without defining all we intend to do. We must use great wisdom in what we say, lest our way be hedged up. Lucifer is an ingenious worker, drawing from our people all possible knowledge, so that he may, if possible, defeat the plans laid to arouse our cities. On some points, silence is eloquence. Letter 84, 1910. Subheading, Lease Good Halls. In some places, the work must begin in a small way and advance slowly. This is all that the laborers can do. But in many cases, a wider, more decided effort might be made at the outset with good results. The work in blank might now be much further advanced than it is if our brethren at the beginning of the work there had not tried to work in so cheap a way. If they had hired good halls and carried forward the work as though we had great truths, we would surely be victorious. They would have had greater success. God would have the work started in such a way that the first impressions given shall be, as far as they go, the very best that can be made. Gospel Workers, page 462, 1915. Subheading, Tents Pitched in Most Favorable Places. We must carry the truth to the cities. Tents ought to be pitched in the most favorable places and meetings held. Review and Herald, May 25, 1905. Subheading, Care of Tent Ground. Elder Blank has had the big camp meeting tent pitched in Oakland. During the preparations, he was right on hand to direct and work very hard to have the grounds approaching the tent as presentable as possible. Letter 352, 1906. Subheading, Advantages of a Portable Meeting House. I wish that you might have a portable meeting house. This would be much more favorable for your work than would a tent, especially in the rainy season. Letter 376, 1906. Heading, The Outpost Centers. Subheading, From Outpost Centers. It is God's design that our people should locate outside the cities, and from these outposts warn the cities and raise in them memorials for God. There must be a force of influence in the cities that the message of warning shall be heard. Review and Herald, April 14, 1903. Subheading, As a Barrier to Contaminating Influence. We must make wise plans to warn the cities and at the same time live where we can shield our children and ourselves from the contaminating and demoralizing influences so prevalent in these places. Life Sketches, page 410, 1915. Subheading, Low-Priced Rural Properties. We are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves in our efforts to secure country properties at a low figure, and from these outpost centers, we are to work the cities. Special Testimonies, Series B, number 14, page 7, 1902. Subheading, In Easy Access to the Cities. Let men of sound judgment be appointed, not to publish abroad their intentions, but to search for such properties in the rural districts, in easy access to the cities, suitable for small training schools for workers, and where facilities may also be provided for treating the sick and weary souls who know not the truth. Look for such places just out from the large cities, where suitable buildings may be secured, either as a gift from the owners or purchased at a reasonable price by the gifts of our people. Do not erect buildings in the noisy cities. Medical Ministry, pages 308, 309, 1909. Subheading, Working in, but Not Living in Cities. The truth must be spoken, whether men will hear or whether men will forbear. The cities are filled with temptation. We should plan our work in such a way as to keep our young people as far as possible from this contamination. The cities are to be worked from outposts. Said the messenger of God, shall not the cities be warned? Yes. Not by God's people living in them, but by their visiting them, to warn them of what is coming upon the earth. Letter 182, 1902. Subheading, As Did Enoch. As God's commandment-keeping people, we must leave the cities. As did Enoch, we must work in the cities, but not dwell in them. Manuscript 85, 1899. Subheading, Lessons from Lot and Enoch. When iniquity abounds in a nation, there is always to be heard some voice giving warning and instruction, as the voice of Lot was heard in Sodom. Yet Lot could have preserved this family from many evils had he not made his home in this wicked, polluted city. All that Lot and his family did in Sodom could have been done by them, even if they had lived in a place some distance away from the city. Enoch walked with God, and yet he did not live in the midst of any city polluted with every kind of violence and wickedness, as did Lot in Sodom. Manuscript 94, 1903. Heading, Planning Sectional and Suburban Meetings. Subheading, Large Cities, Evangelistic Meetings in Different Areas. Now is the opportune time to work in the cities, for we must reach the people there. As a people, we have been in danger of centering too many important interests in one place. This is not good judgment nor wisdom. An interest is now to be created in the principal cities. Many small centers must be established rather than a few large centers. Let missionaries be laboring two and two in different parts of all our cities. The workers in each city should frequently meet together for counsel and prayer, that they may have wisdom and grace to work together effectively and harmoniously. Let all be wide awake to make the most of every advantage. Our people must gird the armor on and establish centers in all the large cities. Medical Ministry, page 300, 1909. Subheading, Reaching the Unwarned Sections of Our Cities. There is to be an increased force of working agencies in every part of the field. Let the laborers go out two and two, that they may work together in many parts of our cities that have been left unwarned for a long time. Letter 8, 1910. Subheading, Every Part to be Worked. Let a band of workers go to a city and work earnestly to proclaim the truth in every part of it. Let them counsel together as to the best way of carrying on the work in the most inexpensive manner. They are to do thorough work and are ever to keep the spiritual phase of their effort uppermost. Manuscript 42, 1905. Subheading, Tents Repitched to Reach Various Sections of the City. Much wiser generalship should be shown in the location of camp meetings. They should not be held in out-of-the-way places, for in the cities there are people who need the truth. Camp meetings are to be held in places from which the people of our large cities can be reached. Camp meetings must be held in or near the cities, the workers at one time pitching the tent in one part of the city and the next time in another part. Right at our doors there are heathen who need to hear the warning message. In the large cities of America, memorials for God are to be established. Letter 164, 1901. Heading, Planning for a Permanent Work. Subheading, Surface Plowing, a Limited Harvest. We are in danger of spreading over more territory and starting more enterprises than we can possibly attend to properly, and they will become a wearing burden in absorbing means. There is danger to be guarded against of overdoing some branches of the work and leaving some important parts of the Lord's vineyard to be neglected. To undertake and plan a large amount of work and do nothing perfectly would be a bad plan. We are to move forward, but only in the counsel of God. We must not get so far above the simplicity of the work we lose our spiritual perception, and it will be impossible to look after the many accumulated lines of work and enterprises entered into without sacrificing our best helpers to keep things in order. Life and health must be regarded. While we should ever be ready to follow the opening providence of God, we should lay no larger plans in places where our work is represented, nor occupy more ground than there is help and means to bind off the work well. Surface plowing means a limited, scattered harvest. Keep up and increase the interest already started until the cloud moves, then follow it. While there are broader plans and fields constantly opening for the laborers, our ideas and views must broaden in regard to the workers who are to labor in new fields in the Lord's vineyard to bring souls into the truth. Letter 14, 1886. Subheading, Spreading Too Thin. Let not the means at your disposal be spent in so many places that nothing satisfactory is accomplished anywhere. It is possible for the workers to spread their efforts over so much territory that nothing will be properly done in the very places where, by the Lord's direction, the work should be strengthened and perfected. Letter 87, 1902. Subheading, Thoroughness in Evangelistic Details. If our active temperament gathers in a large amount of work that we have not strength nor the grace of Christ to do understandingly and with order and exactitude, everything we undertake shows imperfection, and the work is constantly marred. God is not glorified, however good the motive. There is a want of wisdom which is too plainly revealed. The worker complains of constantly having too heavy burdens to bear when God is not pleased with his taking these burdens. And he makes his own life one of worriment and anxiety and weariness because he will not learn the lessons Christ has given him, to wear his yoke and bear his burdens rather than the yoke and burdens of his own creating. God wants intelligent workers, doing their work not hurriedly, but carefully and thoroughly, always preserving the humility of Jesus. Those who put thought and painstaking into the higher duties should put care and thought into the smaller duties, showing exactitude and diligence. Oh, how much neglected work is done, how much leaving things at loose ends because there is a constant desire to take on greater work. The work is slurred over that relates to the service of God because they pile so much work before them that there is nothing done thoroughly. But all the work must bear the scrutiny of the judge of all the earth. The smaller duties connected with the service of the Master assume importance because it is Christ's service. Letter 48, 1886. Subheading, No New Interest Till Others Bound Off. We must not plan for large beginnings while we have so little power to complete that which has already begun. Let not new enterprises come in before their time to absorb in other places the means that ought to be used to build up the work in blank. The interest in that place must be firmly established before other territory is entered. Letter 87, 1902. Subheading, Maintaining Interest for the Message. The experiences of this meeting, with what has been presented to me at various times regarding the holding of camp meetings in large cities, lead me to advise that a larger number of camp meetings be held each year, even though some of them are small. For these meetings will be a powerful means of arresting the attention of the masses. By camp meetings held in the cities, thousands will be called out to bear the invitation of the feast. Come, for all things are now ready. After arousing an interest, we must not cut these meetings short, pulling down the tents, leaving the people to think that the meeting is over just at the time when hundreds are becoming interested. It is just then that the greatest good may be accomplished by faithful, earnest work. The meetings must be so managed that the public interest shall be maintained. It may be difficult sometimes to hold the principal speakers for some weeks to develop the interest awakened by the meeting. It may be expensive to retain the grounds and to keep standing a sufficient number of the family tents to maintain the appearance of a camp meeting. It may be at a sacrifice that several families remain camping on the grounds to assist the ministers and Bible workers in visiting and in holding Bible study with those who come on the grounds and in visiting the people at their homes, telling them of the blessings received at the meetings and inviting them to come. But the results will be worthy of the effort. It is by such earnest, energetic efforts as these that some of our camp meetings have been instrumental in raising up strong working churches. And it is by just such earnest work that the third angel's message must be carried to the people of our cities. Review and Herald, April 4, 1899. Subheading, Organized Protracted Effort. Sometimes a large number of speakers attend a camp meeting for a few days. And when the interest of the people is beginning to be fully aroused, nearly all hurry away to another meeting, leaving two or three speakers behind to struggle against the depressing influence of the tearing down and removal of all the family tents. How much better would be, in many cases, if the meetings were continued for a longer time, if persons would come from each church prepared to remain a month or longer, helping in the meetings and learning how to labor acceptably. Then they could carry a valuable experience to their churches when they return home. How much better if some of the same speakers who aroused the interest of the people during the largest attendance at the meeting would remain to follow up the work begun by a thoroughly organized, protracted effort. Review and Herald, April 4, 1899. Subheading, Leaving the Harvest Ungarnered. It would be better and accomplish more good if there were fewer tent meetings and a stronger force or company with different gifts to labor. Then there should be a longer tarry in a place where an interest is awakened. Footnote, the tent meeting when this was written was only a few days' duration. Compiler and a footnote. There's been too much haste in taking down the tent. Some begin to be favorably impressed, and there's need that persevering efforts be put forth till their minds become settled and they commit themselves on the truth. In many places where the tent has been pitched, the ministers stay till the prejudice begins to wear away, and some would then listen with minds free from prejudice. But just then the tent is taken down and sent on its way to another place. The rounds are gone over, time and means spent, and the servants of God can see but very little accomplished through the tent season. But few are brought to acknowledge the truth, and God's servants, having seen but very little to cheer and encourage them and call out the gift within them, lose instead of gaining in strength, spirituality, and power. Testimonies, Volume 1, page 148, 1857. Subheading, Follow-up Workers. I have been thinking of how it used to be when the loud cry of the first angel's message was given in Portland and in the city of Boston. These efforts were followed up with the continuous work similar to that which you, Elder Blank and Sister Blank, and your helpers are doing. This work is indeed the Lord's work. Letter 182, 1906. Subheading, Locate Families to Hold the Interest Awakened. Then there is Toronto, Australia, a pleasure resort. These places are all within 10 and 20 miles of Currumbong and must be entered as soon as we can find consecrated families whom we can locate there to hold the interest awakened. All these fields are white for the harvest, but we can do nothing without devoted workers who can enter and arouse and hold an interest. Letter 76, 1899. Subheading, A Wise Generalship Needed. wise generalship is needed in the selection of fields of labor. Plans should be made before a field is entered as to how these souls are to be cared for. Who will minister unto these who shall take hold of the truth? They have accepted an unpopular truth. Who will educate them after they have learned their ABCs? Who will give the spiritual mold to their experience? To labor at considerable expense to bring souls into the truth and then leave them to the fashion their own experience according to false ideas they have received and woven into their religious experience would leave that work far worse than if the truth had never been brought to them. To leave the work incomplete and to ravel out is worse than to wait until there are plans well devised to take care of those who do come into the faith. Letter 60, 1886. Heading, Finance and the Budget. Subheading, Sit Down and Count the Cost. God's people are not to go forward blindly in the investment of means that they do not have and know not where to obtain. We must show wisdom in the movements that we make. Christ has laid before us the plan upon which his work is to be conducted. Those who desire to build must first sit down and count the cost to see whether they are able to carry the building to completion. Before they begin to carry out their plans, they must advise with counselors. If one worker, failing to reason from cause to effect, is in danger of making unwise moves, his fellow workers are to speak words of wisdom to him, showing him where he is in error. Letter 182, 1902. Subheading, Strict Economy. Let all who take up the work in our large cities be careful in this respect. In no place should there be any needless expenditure of money. It is not by untoward display that men and women are to learn what is comprehended by present truth. Our workers are to practice strict economy. God forbids all extravagance. Every dollar at our command is to be expended with economy. No great display is to be made. God's money is to be used to carry forward in his own way the work that he has declared must be done in our world. Letter 107, 1905. Subheading, Begin Without Display. Why should we delay to begin our work in our cities? We are not to wait for some wonderful thing to be done or some costly apparatus to be provided in order that a great display may be made. What is the chaff to the wheat? If we walk and work humbly before God, he will prepare the way before us. Letter 335, 1904. Subheading, Balanced Evangelism. God forbid that there should be a large outlay of means in a few places without considering the needs of the many fields that have scarcely any help. Self-denial exercised by the brethren in favored localities in order that adequate help may be given to needy fields will aid in accomplishing a work that will bring glory to God. None can afford to build a high tower of influence in one locality while they leave other places unworked. The Lord grant that our senses may be sanctified and that we may learn to measure our ideas by the work and the teachings of Christ. Letter 320, 1908. Subheading, Bearing Expense of a Worker. In the great cities, many agencies are to be set at work. Those who are so situated that they cannot act a part in personal labor may interest themselves in bearing the expenses of a laborer who can go. Let not our brethren and sisters make excuses for not engaging in earnest work. No practical Christian lives to himself. Manuscript 128, 1901. Subheading, Churches Finance New Work. Those who know the truth are to strengthen one another, saying to the ministers, Go forth into the harvest field in the name of the Lord, and our prayers shall go with you as sharp sickles. Thus our churches should bear decided witness for God, and they should also bring him their gifts and offerings, that those who go forth into the field may have wherewith to labor for souls. Manuscript 73A, 1900. Subheading, God's Provision for City Work. I've had messages from the Lord, which I have given to our people over and over again, that there are many moneyed men who are susceptible to the influences and impressions of the gospel's message. The Lord has a people who have never yet heard the truth. Keep to your work, and let the property that shall be donated to the advancement of the truth be so used that a center shall be established in blank. Let proper persons who have never revealed the selfish, grasping spirit which withholds the means that ought to be used in the large cities be selected to carry forward the work, because God acknowledges them as his chosen ones. God will move upon the hearts of moneyed men when the Bible, and the Bible alone, is presented as the light of the world. In these cities, the truth is to go forth as a lamp that burneth. The question has been asked, why have you made a specialty of laboring for the lowest, most debased class, passing by the men of discrimination and talent? There is a field all ripe for the harvest, and the Lord has means whereby this field shall be worked. There are men of large business capabilities who will accept the truth, men who trust in the Scriptures, who from the treasure house of the heart can bring forth things new and old. Controlled by the Holy Spirit, these men will move in a way that will clear away obstructions so that the people may be warned of the soon coming of the Lord. In many testimonies, I have stated that wealthy men who have their Lord's money will be moved by the Spirit of God to open doors for the advancement of the truth in large cities. They will use their entrusted means to prepare the way of the Lord, to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Those who work in the large cities ought to reach, if possible, to the high ones of the world, even to ruling powers. Where is our faith? God has presented to me the case of Nebuchadnezzar. The Lord worked with power to bring the mightiest king on the earth to acknowledge him as the king over all kings. He moved upon the mind of the proud king until Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged him as the most high God, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Letter 132, 1901. Subheading, Solicit the Wealthy. Let those who labor in the interest of the cause of God lay the necessities of the work in blank before the wealthy men of the world. Do this judiciously. Tell them what you are trying to do. Solicit donations from them. It is God's means which they have, means which should be used in enlightening the world. There are stored up in the earth large treasures of gold and silver. Men's riches have accumulated. Go to these men with a heart filled with love for Christ and suffering humanity and ask them to help you in the work you are trying to do for the Master. As they see that you reveal the sentiments of God's benevolence, a chord will be touched in their hearts. They will realize that they can be Christ's helping hand by doing medical missionary work. They will be led to cooperate with God to provide the facilities necessary to set in operation the work that needs to be done. Manuscript 40, 1901. Subheading, Others Too Must Have Facilities. Elder Blank uses with prodigality money that should go to the sustaining of workers in different parts of the field. He needs to remember that others besides him are to have opportunity to use their talents in the Lord's work, and they are to be given facilities for work so that they can labor without sacrificing health and even life itself. One worker is not to absorb a large amount of money to carry on his line of work according to his own plans, leaving his fellow worker without the means he ought to have in order to do the work assigned him. Even if this money comes from outsiders, it is still the Lord's money. God has not ordained that one worker should have a superabundance while his fellow worker is so bound about by a lack of means that he cannot accomplish the work that should be done. Letter 49, 1902. Subheading, Converted Souls to Provide Means. As men and women are brought into the truth in the cities, the means will begin to come in. As surely as honest souls will be converted, their means will be consecrated to the Lord's service, and we shall see an increase of our resources. Manuscript 53, 1909. Subheading, build up a reserve fund. Evangelistic work is not to be carried on in the selfish, self-exalted manner in which Elder Blank has carried it on. The means that come into the hands of the workers in the Lord's cause belong to God and are to be used in an economical manner. When large sums of money are given to the work, let a portion of the means be laid by, for there will be emergencies to meet in the Lord's great vineyard. Letter 149, 1901. Subheading, Wise Management in the New Fields. There is a great importance attached to the starting and the right at the beginning of our work. I have been shown that the work in blank has been bound about without making that decided advancement that it might have made if the work had commenced right. Far more might have been done with different modes of management, and there would have been less means actually taken from the treasury. We have a great and sacred trust in the elevated truths committed to us. Letter 14, 1887. Subheading, Economy, Not to Excess. While we have to be economical, we are not to carry economy to excess. It is one of the sad, strange things in life that great mistakes are sometimes made in carrying the virtue of self-sacrifice to an extreme. It is possible for the Lord's workers to be presumptuous and to carry too far the self-sacrifice that prompts them to go without sufficient food and without sufficient clothing in order that they may make every dollar go as far as possible. Some laborers overwork and do without things they ought to have because there is not enough money in the treasury to sustain the number of workers that ought to be in the field. There would be more money if all would work in accordance with Christ's injunction, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Letter 49, 1902. Subheading, Avoid Petty Meanness. The one object to be kept before the mind is that you are reformers and not bigots. In dealing with unbelievers, do not show a contemptible spirit of littleness. For you stop to haggle over a small sum, you will, in the end, lose a much larger sum. They will say, that man is a sharper. He will cheat you out of your rights if he possibly could. So be on your guard when you have any dealing with him. But if in a deal a trifle in your favor is placed to the favor of another, that other will work with you on the same generous plan. Littleness begets littleness. Penuriousness begets penuriousness. Those who pursue this course do not see how contemptible it appears to others, especially those not of our faith, and the precious cause of truth bears the stamp of this defect. Letter 14, 1887. Heading, The Business Management of the Campaign. Subheading, Ministers Not Burdened with Business. To every man is given his work. Those who enter the ministry engage in a special work and should give themselves to prayer and to the speaking of the word. Their minds should not be burdened with business matters. For years the Lord has been instructing me to warn our ministering brethren against allowing their minds to become so engrossed with business matters that they will have no time to commune with God and to have fellowship with the Spirit. A minister cannot keep in the best spiritual frame of mind while he is called upon to settle little difficulties in the various churches. This is not his appointed work. God desires to use every faculty of his chosen messengers. Their mind should not be wearied by long committee meetings at night, for God wants all their brain power to be used in proclaiming the gospel clearly and forcibly as it is in Christ Jesus. Overburdened, a minister is often so hurried that he scarcely finds time to examine himself, whether he be in the faith. He finds very little time to meditate and pray. Christ and his ministry united prayer with work. Night after night he spent wholly in prayer. Ministers must seek God for his Holy Spirit in order that they may present the truth aright. Manuscript 127, 1902. Subheading, Business Details Carried by Men of Business Ability. It is a great mistake to keep a minister who is gifted with power to preach the gospel constantly at work in business matters. He who holds forth the word of life is not to allow too many burdens to be placed upon him. The finances of the cause are to be properly managed by businessmen of ability, but preachers and evangelists are set apart for another line of work. Let the management of financial matters rest on others than those set apart for the work of preaching the gospel. Our ministers are not to be heavily burdened with the business details of the evangelical work carried on in our large cities. Those in charge of our conferences should find businessmen to look after the financial details of city work. If such men cannot be found, let facilities be provided for training men to bear these burdens. Review and Herald, October 5, 1905.